Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the place where sports opinions collide, dead in sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me as usual is BZ430. Whoa!
Well, I know he took Siakam. Out, didn't he?
Coast to coast.
Siakam. We're watching the Boston and Toronto game for those that's wondering what we're looking at.
Yep. Boston, they haven't been good recording since Kyrie came back.
10-0 run.
FIFO 24-7.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Disrespect himself of the No Disrespect podcast.
What's going on?
Yep. So, yeah, man, like B said, it's 88-64 right now. Toronto up. And, you know, I mean, Boston on the road, so it is what it is. So, you know, these things happen. But,
and one. That was a foul, too.
And
that was a foul, too, yeah.
Boy. They're giving it to him, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Man. Eastern Conference playoffs, yeah. Man. It's gonna be so much fun to watch.
And then they have a
especially
mini
when we get in that second, yeah. Especially when we get in that second round, man.
Mm-hmm. With OG,
because I'm already assuming it's gonna be Philly, Milwaukee, Boston, and Toronto in the second round.
Well, the seedings have to play out right. So
Boston yeah. needs to get a top four seed.
Yep.
Even if they're five, they play Indiana. They beat them in the first round.
They'll
beat them in the first round.
Who's on the road? Indiana.
I'm saying if Boston,
Boston's a five seed,
they can beat Indiana.
They can beat Indiana. Thank you.
Indiana don't have enough star power to beat Boston.
But they're still doing good without Victor, though.
Yeah,
they're
I'm surprised. Definitely, because I thought they were going to fall the hell off the map.
3-0-4, yeah.
And no, they're not three. They're definitely not three.
They was at one point, though.
They were. Philly caught them.
Okay.
And then I want to say Boston was fourth for a while, but they fell off.
So let me ask you this, though. Just if
Philly's still three.
Yeah,
I mean
yeah.
Indiana's
still three.
Yeah.
So if Indiana, yeah. So
what's the what's Philly's record?
Philly is 39-22. Pacers is 40-21.
Wow. So if Indiana stays at the three seed, can you throw the coach name in there as coach of the year?
Just
is that Nate McMillan?
Yeah, Nate McMillan.
Nate McMillan, the coach of the year. Oh man. Shit!
That surprised me too. Oh, I was like, hey, I thought. He
oh yeah,
was always
if Indiana, if they lock on, if they keep that three seed without Victor,
you have to consider him.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, because that's what I mean. Consider him. He has to
go to the Milwaukee coach.
But
it probably will.
Yeah, it probably will. Yeah. Because look, man, look at the jump. Yeah, look at the jump they made, and we're really talking about. At the trade deadline, they didn't make too much moves, right? They got Mirotić, which was nice. But that team is essentially the same team Jason Kidd had, bro.
Yes, yes.
And he added 20-some wins.
Yes, that's crazy.
Honest, man, they squad is stacked.
Talking about Milwaukee?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, they really don't have a piece where I'm like, oh, this
they can
could
make
be
a run
issue
at this,
or,
man.
Like, weak link. Like, no, they got talent all over. Now they got
they can make a run at this, man. Yeah. They can really, like.
But it's just like Giannis has to.
He got to do it in the playoffs.
He got to shoot a decent jump shot in going into the playoffs.
No. And this is why I disagree with you to a certain degree. I disagree with you that he doesn't necessarily need a jump shot right now, but he needs a jump shot. Any player that plays basketball at this level, 15 to 18 foot minimum.
Yeah,
if you don't have that,
you got to have that.
Bro, you got to have that in the game. However, the reason why I'm disagreeing with you for right now is because Coach Bud is coaching his ass off to allow Giannis to overcome that deficiency. So if you watch what they do, right? Because players play off Giannis, right? Go ahead and shoot the three. You won't kill us from there. Y'all deserve to win, right? But what's happening is that they're setting a pick below the free throw line. So when Giannis gets it, and we already know it's one dribble and dunk from the three-point line for Giannis, and he has a pick already there, what you going to do? So I don't know what the adjustments are from the other coaches playing against Milwaukee, what they're going to do, but they haven't solved it in the regular season.
Would it be like the whole Dwight Howard type of style where you just let him get his and just lock everybody else out?
But see, I don't feel that back in the day when Orlando was a championship contender with Dwight Howard, people were actually doing that. They were double teaming Dwight Howard. If you look, especially against Cleveland, right?
I think Boston was the only one that did that. And their series always used to go to seven.
But they beat Boston, right? Like obviously, they made it to the finals.
Yeah.
So to me, and I don't remember exactly Boston Orlando. I remember more so Cleveland. Orlando, and I used to get mad at Brown.
Mike Brown.
Because he would double team Dwight, and all of a sudden Dwight would pass it, pass.
Turkaloo, Rashard Lewis, Courtney Lee,
Jameer Nelson. It's just like, bro, all these guys can shoot three.
Oh yeah, Ray Foster, wasn't he on there?
No, he wasn't on that squad.
He wasn't on that squad.
Michael Pietrus.
He may have been, but I don't think he was on that squad. But either way, it was kind of like, let Dwight get 50. Let Dwight get 60. The other guys was hurting you. But at the end of the day, I don't think that you can do that with Giannis because Giannis is a ball handler.
If
Giannis get a rebound, bro, ain't nothing you can do with that.
Ain't nothing you can do about that shit.
With Dwight, he can't get no rebound. Ah, let me get you. He can't do none of that. So that's the difference because Giannis is literally 7 foot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Wow. He can defend literally all five positions.
Yeah, they are.
It's a statement game.
It is.
Think so?
It is.
The way they playing, like they want to.
This is definitely a statement game.
They want to put a foot on everybody's neck. Right
they do.
Now.
So we still don't believe something wrong with Boston.
Something is wrong with Boston.
You think they're gonna get it together eventually? That's how you feel.
Well,
honestly, at this point, I'm not 100% sure they can.
Really?
Well, what did Kyrie say? He said, "Cause I'm here."
That's what Kyrie said. Well,
yeah, he said the reason why we're gonna get it right because I'm here.
Of course,
I mean, you gotta say that.
Yeah, you gotta have that type of confidence. Gotta, and Nick, I won a championship, bro. You know what I'm saying? And let's be
not
honest.
Not only did I win, I made sure we won.
Shot, right?
Yeah,
right.
I made sure we won it.
So and here's the thing, right? Like, this is the thing we know about playoff basketball. It slows down, and you gotta have one-on-one guys that can go get tough buckets when you down 8. And it's been a 2-minute, 3-minute stretch. And ain't nobody really scored nothing.
Got Marc Gasol.
You got to have guys like Kyrie.
Yo, man, Toronto might.
So I definitely think Boston, you can't write them off.
Nah.
But.
No, I'm not writing them off.
But the level of concern has to be high.
It's some concern.
But my concern, because of how much playoff experience even the youngsters have, all the way up to the vets, like I'm not really worried about regular season. It's more. Even though they shouldn't get this grace period or this, they shouldn't get this kind of leverage, I would say. I give them the same thing like Golden State. Like I just feel like they're just trying to get through the regular season to get to the playoffs. That's what they mind.
No, but
they don't have that. They don't have their history and the pedigree.
But the difference is that even though Golden State goes up and down, we've seen the best version of those guys. Have we even seen the best version of Boston? What is the best version of Boston?
Kyrie.
We have not seen all of those guys running on all cylinders. Because here's the thing. I understand championship teams and veteran teams and even young teams that have a lot of talent. You can kind of turn off and on the switch when you know what that switch is. When you know this is the optimal level of basketball that we can play together. We know how to get there. They've never reached that so far this season. So how can you turn something on that you don't know what it is? So that's why I'm concerned for Boston.
Well, another concern is Brad Stevens. And Ken, I hate to admit when you on to something, but Brad Stevens, them rotations, the lineups, I don't even know if they have a definite, like, lineup as far as this is the one we want to really start out with. This is the one to close games with. Like,
and all I know, he ain't Luke Walton. That's all I know.
He ain't Luke, but
that boy there, it's a wrap for him.
Yeah. What was up with LeBron James' body language yesterday?
Did you see that team? You had the same language too.
But against, what was it, Memphis?
Yeah, Memphis.
But no, I didn't watch the game, so I can't really speak to it.
Yeah, like he left someone, wide open and didn't even like.
Well, that guy shoots like 26-23%.
Yeah, but if you that wide open,
but his body language after he made the shot.
Well, yeah, he had like he had like somebody else forgot to rotate it over. Yeah, because when I looked, I said, "There's no way LeBron would leave somebody that could shoot at a higher percentage open." And then when I saw his actual shooting percentage, I was like, okay, it makes sense,
but
you're trying to make the playoffs, so you can't even take that chance.
So that image don't look
how does that look on the film when y'all look at the how y'all lost?
Well, now is Luke Walton going to call him out for that? Because, you know, if you're in playoff mode, you can't play the percentages. You just got to go ahead and just take that away and make him pass that ball. So that's
bad on him. Told you I won't make the playoffs, man.
That's unfair, B.
No, I'm just. I said it before. I said it before all
you
that, though.
Did.
Yeah,
you
it's
did.
Recorded.
Yeah. I understand.
When we all named our teams, it was going to make the playoffs.
I just thought this.
You know what makes me upset? I just wish he was healthy. And I know that injuries are part of.
He's been healthy for what, 30-something years. One year that he ain't healthy.
I'm just saying that. But people are saying that. Oh, LeBron. It's the way that people are saying it. You called it at the beginning, but for me, when. Him not making the playoffs has a lot to do with the injury from third to now 11th, right? Mm-hmm. So for people to go out here and say, oh, now that LeBron is in the West, he can't make the playoffs, I think is a little unfair because they're not painting a full picture of how
they were. But even when they were the fourth seed, they were only, two games ahead of the seventh or something like that?
But that's irrelevant, though. We know that the West is tight like that. It's the fact that if LeBron was healthy, we know he was going to get a top eight spot. Regardless,
they wouldn't have went 6-12 if LeBron.
Exactly, exactly.
They went 6-12,
and then
and they were starting to actually play better as a team.
Exactly,
and get a rhythm.
Then Lonzo got hurt.
Exactly,
Lonzo got hurt, was actually their best on ball defender. Rondo was, was hurt. So it's injuries.
So it's not B as everybody else that want to use this to take shots
at
him going to the.
No,
I'm
saying is that when you come back from injury, we expect you to be – because his injury wasn't season-ending or anything catastrophic.
It was severe,
but he took the necessary time off. He took over a month,
But even still, let's be honest.
They're saying he came back early.
Most players probably wouldn't even came back this season.
From a groin injury?
From that type of groin injury? They said
it heard it pop.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Does he look healthy to you running out there?
He looks I would say he's 80%.
He looks a little flat.
He's 80%. But he mentioned it, he didn't expect to have to turn it on now. Like, I think he was in his mindset, he was like, I'm going to wait to turn it on, like, once the start of the playoffs happen. But the fact that I got
to
use my energy now makes me even more tired because I don't even know. This is just to get to the playoffs, not even to be in the playoffs.
Right, right.
Did you guys see what Stephen A. said today?
We'll get to that. It's on here. Okay. It's on here. We'll get to that. But, I do want to comment on that. Let's start with Robert Kraft, man. Robert Kraft, man.
Who won that double coverage?
Hey.
that sloppy toppy.
You know what I mean? Who won that double coverage, man?
Man.
He was feeling himself after winning that AFC Championship game. Like, we going to the Super Bowl, baby.
That was before.
Before the AFC Championship game.
He went before, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so he's officially
That's what I'm saying. He was flying high. On his way. Yeah.
So he's officially been charged with soliciting prostitution at a Florida spa. This occurred hours before they played in the AFC Championship game, according to a probable cause affidavit filed in Palm Beach County. He's one of 25 people charged with soliciting another to commit prostitution. And this has been a months-long investigation. They say they actually have him on video receiving the acts.
Oh, receiving the axe?
They got both. Oh,
wow! I saw the money. I saw the money part where he was.
So was this like a undercover cop, or was it like just like they were just investigating the whole?
They were just investigating the spot. Period.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just happened to be there. Yeah.
Damn.
You know. So.
You know how it be. Your homie hit you. Hey, bro, you gotta hit up this spot. Yep. Then you go and you didn't even know that, you know, it was
all
like
other rich buddies and stuff. Yeah.
All right. So
now the biggest thing right from what I'm hearing is like, is this dealing with sex trafficking or is this more just like regular old prostitution?
I thought it was prostitution.
They trying to put the sex trafficking label on this because of the area and the, what's going on nowadays.
But look, if I paid you for this act,
That's consenting adults, right?
Justice reform my ass. They trying to get him.
Yeah, they are. But first of all,
he having too many brothers out.
Hey, you too powerful. I agree. However, to me, overall, I don't think prostitution should be illegal. That's me personally, right? So with that mindset, with that viewpoint, like this shouldn't even be something.
Yeah, but I think they're trying to say is like, was this whole entity kidnapping girls, forcing them to work here, and then
but
he don't know that
exactly. Robert Kraft don't know. I'm not involved with this. Shit, I just wanted, like B said, some of that double cover, some of that sloppy toppy.
Yeah.
If y'all motherfuckers is doing that shit, that's on y'all. I just came here. I paid my $100. Yeah. I want what I want. Like, you can't pin more on that, man. They just...
I think because of the name.
Of course. And they're just trying to make an example of.
Well, I don't know if they're making an example of him. I think he's just the biggest name that everybody knows that got caught up in it. So, of course, they're going to talk about him more than...
But
all the other execs.
But do you think that they would be talking about, like, I guess trying to add more charges or talking in different levels of the shit that he's involved in right now if he wasn't trying to help out Meek Mill, if he wasn't cool with Gucci, if he didn't, you know, take meetings with Jay-Z and stuff like that? Like, do you think that has anything to do with that? Because personally, I think it does. I think the fact that he is kind of... You know, especially since his wife died. Like he's one of the guys now. You know what I'm saying? And he's listening and helping out minorities. And then now it just seems like they're trying to pin the tail on the donkey. Like, hey, you right here, sir, you don't be needed to help out these brothers like that.
I get that point, but I don't know. I just think it's more of like you fucked up.
Yeah,
and like this is just the ramifications of you fucking up.
You know me, I would love to go there.
But he didn't get done from
the side faller.
What's wrong with that?
You have a great argument. It's just that when you built it on the foundation of, oh yeah, he just got topped off at a massage parlor. It's like,
it's a months long investigation. Yeah. So I don't think they were investigating him.
He just happened to be at the wrong place at the right time.
Yeah. So now the question, of course, like you guys, you know, said earlier, like, is this sex trafficking or is it just, you know, prostitution? I think it could be sex trafficking because, you know, they got pictures of there being food and stuff, like, in the actual at the actual spot in the refrigerator.
But it's only sex trafficking for him if he knew what that was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If he knew,
because
yes.
Right now, it's still a misdemeanor, that charge of what he got.
Which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that's misdemeanor now.
Like, they're making this.
But niggas getting locked up for dime bags? Like,
right. And prostitutes supposed to be so illegal, but it's just a misdemeanor. You know, and is all of this noise, but it's just a misdemeanor. Like,
but look, man, if all four of us was caught there, ain't nobody gonna know that. I hit up the lawyer. Hey, handle that. You know what I'm saying? Don't let the wife.
That's true because we don't know 20 other persons involved. I think I read like four other names because they were big execs. But yeah, we don't know anybody else that was caught up in that mess. So
yeah, they say it was bigger names in there, but they still haven't.
How do you feel the NFL will respond?
Nothing. They ain't gonna do.
No, they're gonna do like an Ursay thing. Like six what? Games, half a mil. That's what Ursay got for his DUI, whatever.
But DUI is way worse because you're talking about you could potentially kill somebody.
Yeah.
I'm just getting some heads, bro.
Get some heads. Right.
It's consensual. It's consensual. Exactly. You know what I mean? Look. I didn't want to go to a bar and wine and dine and try to explain to a chick who the hell I am. Bitch, I'll give you $100 right now. Sloppy toppy this thing. Yeah, come on. It's just a different allocation of the $100.
I understand.
You know, so
I understand. But like in the public, a date is a lot more easy to show on camera than what he did.
Hey, look, all I know is my nigga Bill Clinton kept his job. You know what I'm saying? After all that Monica Lewinsky stuff. Should he deserve a fine from the NFL? I could see that. You know what I'm saying? Obviously.
But you know, their rules is like the owners are set to a higher standard than the players.
Okay, but what are we talking about?
I know what we're talking about, but I'm just talking about for the... I was mentioning to B earlier, like the NFL has been going through 3 years of hardship as far as PR. Like they had the cap.
Of course. They always will.
They got domestic violence and now they got the sex trafficking.
No, but here's the thing though. This is not new for the NFL. For the history of the NFL, it has always been controversial.
But I mean, now in the social media age, though, where everything's blown up even bigger than what it is.
And I get that. And again, I'm not saying that if you go Jim Irsay route in terms of levying the fines and games and all of that, if that's what they want to do, I get it. Because you're 100% right. The PR hit on this is not good.
And that's why he's going to receive a fine. It's probably going to be pretty big because that's all everybody's talking about.
Of course. You know,
this isn't like the Irsay thing. It was.
That's different.
It was a blip, though. Like it was covered, a blip. But it wasn't covered like this. They just won the Super Bowl.
And that's my point. So why do you think that they are covering it to this extent? I don't think it's the Super Bowl because obviously the Patriots have had controversy around a lot of their Super Bowls and it isn't covered like this.
You might be on
So what's the extra sauce? Why is this so saucy right now?
A lot of people are against the NFL right now. Nah,
I see where you're going. They didn't intentionally set out to get him.
But because
he got caught, and now that he's in the light for this negative thing, and you're running around with the Negroes, we're like, oh, we're going to say that you're actually almost no better than them. You're a Negro lover.
Tell you, they're trying to pin the tail on donkey, dog. I'm telling you. Because here's the thing.
It ain't take you long, but
I didn't need a reason to get there.
It didn't need any reason. Because little breadcrumb.
I honestly feel if it was any other owner, and this is what we're talking about, it'll be a blip. It would be a blip. They would talk about it. Okay, fine. There's that. Boom. Over.
This is like every day.
Every day. Like, what new information have we found about this?
Well, besides the fact that he was officially charged, like first it was alleged, and then it was like today I think he was actually charged, and we'll see if they talk about it tomorrow. Ooh, we'll see if they talk about it tomorrow some more. But yeah, I think the fine's going to be severe.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be severe.
So what's severe?
I think it's going to be $1 million and at least 8 games.
Ooh!
Dang, that much? That's crazy.
Look. Just because of the sex trial, it's all.
What do the 8 games do, though? He just can't come to the.
Yeah, he just ain't gonna be able to come to the game.
Does that really hurt them because he actually owns the team?
Well, right. It's like him because right. he loves being. Yeah, people say he's like the
it'll hurt
Cuban
him.
Of the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. He's up there with Jerry Jones with the clout of the NFL owners and stuff like that.
He like being out. He like the fact that the Patriots give him a reason.
8 games, should I just be at the spa?
Right.
Just hanging out for 8 weeks.
But I mean, I think that's what it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be both, but it's going to be either or, in my opinion. Like, it's either going to be a lot of money you got to pay, or it's going to be a lot of games you got to sit out.
I think $1 million is a bit too much. But I definitely, like I said, I could see the Jim Irsay money, $500,000, $600,000 around there, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. In terms of games, if I was the commissioner, I wouldn't ban him no games. I'd be like, hey, look, man. Just get you some side chicks. You know what I'm saying?
But
that's
then the players
going to
come out and say, like, bro, if that was one of us, we would be kicked off the team and all this other stuff. Like, that's the thing. That's
why I said. But you're not a billionaire, though.
But they always – but like I said, that's the reason I pointed out in the rule book. They say the standard of the owners is higher than
but
the
let
players.
Me ask you this. They're not gonna take the damn Patriots away from Kraft. No, and if they go that damn far.
Nah, that's not going – it's not going to go that far. Nah.
And I just read that Irsay's charge was a misdemeanor charge, too. And he got 6 and 500.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I think that sets the precedent.
Yeah.
And
it's worse
a little bit more,
a
little bit less.
He donated, Kraft donated like $100K to sex trafficking like a year ago or something like that.
Which is really interesting because if you did that and you go to a spa that you know provides sexual acts.
That's the weird thing about this.
Like, whoa. Let me pause you right there. Do you think, right, and per what B said and what y'all said, there are bigger names on that list. There are other executives. Do you think that this is the only parlor, massage place, whatever,
no, right.
that
no,
offers
right.
this?
Exactly.
And do you think that this is the only powerful, like, group of men that have been caught or go and frequent these type of, come on,
when it comes to rich people, rich white men, I always think they're doing some, they do high-end prostitutes and all that other stuff.
And that's why you're starting to see a push for prostitution to be legal because it would cut down on the amount of sex trafficking that happens out there. You know, if it's something that they could just
they treat like
do.
Marijuana.
Yeah, it's just a job. Like, you just want to do this
just
thing.
Just tax it. You know? Got to have a license to prostitute.
And who knows, after this, those conversations might uptick because you got four or five execs, high profile execs, going down for prostitution. It wouldn't be that much of a scandal if prostitution was legal, or you know, sex acts were legal. You know, so that's the other thing you got to look at.
We damn near legalizing everything now. you can make a justification.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I the reason why I'm not surprised or this doesn't move me is because from the beginning of time, these type of acts have been happening. It's just that we have governments now that want to shut these things. Why?
Because they can't make money off of it. But they figured out a way to make money off of it, like they have with marijuana.
No, of course.
Marijuana is easy to, because it's a product that doesn't have feelings or humanity attached to it.
But here's the thing.
We're talking about humans, but we're also talking about consenting adults that volunteer to do this.
Yes.
And that's also another issue, a moral issue around what's going on here.
But consent is a big, that's a whole other topic in itself. Because what is consent? What isn't? Especially when you're dealing with sex work.
If it's legal, then it more than likely is consent. Possibly.
Nah. It is. No, it is.
I would assume, look,
I'm providing you a service for a monetary donation.
I'm just trying to cover my bases here, because you know, but I would assume that it is legal. If it's legal, you're consenting to do this. If it's illegal, then you might not have a choice in the matter. Or, yeah, your choices are reduced. The percentage of you doing this by your free will is reduced.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's the whole... Because I agree with some points and I disagree with others, but I understand that this is just a clusterfuck issue that the NFL didn't think they had to deal with two weeks ago. Especially with Kraft.
But
that's your best owner right now.
But to me, that, like, it shouldn't be a clusterfuck. Like, if I was the commissioner, I'd be sitting back. I'd be hitting him on the phone. Hey, bro, look, this is what you're going to get. We'll make the announcement when everything dies down. Don't worry about it. You Gucci. And that's it. Why are we making that?
Because people don't. Again, that's why I meant earlier. Like, people do not like the NFL as of lately, and they want to. Anytime they want to see you burn in public.
They're like, go down.
Especially Robert Kraft. He just come off of Super Bowl. They're like, bro, people hate the Pats regardless.
They do. Yep.
And now they seeing them like. It's another reason. You want to touch order where you can just get some get off of sex work?
They want them to go down. No pun intended. But they want the Patriots to go down.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, man. Zion missed tonight's game because of the shoe blew out.
They lost.
And they lost. Mm-hmm. And this is what...
But Virginia Tech does have Duke's number. I think in the last, like, four or five or close to a decade, they typically upset Duke. So, especially in Virginia. So, take that as you wish. I think if Zion was playing, they definitely would have won, but it is what it is.
But what, are they 0-2 without Zion?
1-2? Right now.
Yeah. Right now?
Yeah.
So I think one of you guys commented that you didn't really realize how important he was to
that was him.
Yeah, that was me, because the last episode I was talking about, I'd rather take Cam Reddish over Zion just for the fit with the Knicks. But seeing him out, seeing how he's basically the heart, and so he's kind of like we always compare him to a more talented Draymond. Like, his role within the Warriors is the same thing I would say about Zion with Duke right now. They don't have enough energy. They don't seem they play better defensively. They don't seem like they.
You know what it is?
Space the floor well with them.
They don't have a cheat code. Because if you look at, like, when I was watching this game, right, Cam Reddish hit a couple shots. RJ Barrett looked a little frazzled. They don't have that extra specialness as a team. Right. When Zion gets there, he's the glue. Right. He it's just like LeBron, where LeBron can cover up all of your little weaknesses. That's what Zion does for you. Zion gets those deflections. Zion gets those rebounds. Zion gets that incredible block that he came out of nowhere that saved a big possession. Zion makes those plays. That's why I say Zion elevates everybody. And if he goes to a franchise going into the NBA that the cupboard is bare, like Cleveland, like, they don't have no true young talent there. Seti, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he balling though.
He all right. But it's kind of like, all I'm saying is his ceiling's very low.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Young Bull, what's his name? Colin Sexton. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, what is he? Then what other young player do you have over there? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But if he goes to, like, a Phoenix, if he goes to, like, who else is going to be drafting high?
Oh,
Atlanta, Orlando, You know what I'm saying? Then you got guys that can go run, jump, and do other things. Then he elevates them. You know what I'm saying? And I think for this squad, man, the person I'm looking at the most is RJ Barrett. Because everybody was talking about, it might be RJ or Zion. Mm-hmm. And now you got this squad. And you are supposed to leave your imprint on this team to show.
Beyond the stats.
Beyond the stats.
Okay.
Timely buckets, timely things that Zion does. Like I said, it's not
timely
always scoring.
Possessions,
timely possessions. The intangibles, the deflections, the shot blocks, the rebounding. And obviously in RJ Barrett, you're not going to out-jump people. But box this big guy out. Move him the hell out the lane. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know you can do that because I'm a small guy. But I be moving the hell out of some big guys out that paint. Because you're not just going to jump out of me. I'm like a tree trunk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can box people out. So those are the things I'm looking for, and I'm not seeing it. So to me, Zion is clear-cut number one, yeah, and it ain't even close.
It's not even, he could do the Kyrie Irving, just sit out
for sit out the rest. He's number one.
Yeah.
And it don't matter what R.J. Barrett does in the dance. It don't matter. Outside of winning a national championship and doing everything I said, all of the little stuff, and step back 3-0, you know, we was down 4, and we came back because of me. Okay, then.
And the thing with this is, like, with this squad is, like, okay, you take Zion off, but this team was marketed as having three lottery, top five picks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's the case anymore?
No, not in my opinion, as far as individuals. As a collective, they're a top, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're a good squad, but. Now looking at without Zion, like, y'all don't look the same. Y'all don't shine the same.
Because here's the thing. I think it's extremely difficult to create a system, especially when you have three guys like that. And I think a little bit of this has to go on Coach K, because when I watch these two games without Zion, they don't really have an identity.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Is it fair to criticize RJ because of the way that this team was sort of put together or constructed?
Yes, because you are highly touted and you have the skill set to try to overcome Zion's injury. You know what I'm saying? We're not talking chopped liver. We're not talking about the number 15th ranked, number 30th ranked guy. We're talking the number one or number two ranked guy coming into this year. Because Zion wasn't ranked number one coming to Duke.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Zion was ranked number three. RJ Barrett was number one.
I mean, he still put
it. Okay, damn.
Or number two. But yeah, either way, he was higher than Zion coming into Duke.
But he's still putting up the numbers. And I know you're talking about they're not translating into wins, but
mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons' numbers weren't translating into wins either.
But Ben Simmons went to a spot where who the hell else was his teammate?
I mean, I understand that.
And coaching-wise, too.
Exactly.
LSU.
Like, yeah.
And LSU is just not a basketball program anyway.
He did that program a favor by going there.
I get all that, but he wasn't – okay.
My thing is with Coach K, I blame Coach K because he was the one that was against one and done mm-hmm. for a while. And then
you got the top three guys.
And now he started embracing it. Well, if you're going to start embracing it, we still need that coach. We still expect that kind of coaching.
He should be able to coach this guy up 31-9. 31-9. I think he had 21-something or something.
But hold on. But I think where Coach K needs to do better is getting Cam more involved. Cam mm-hmm. is too much off the ball. And I understand. When Zion's playing, I get it. Somebody got to take less dribbles, less possessions. Mm-hmm. And Cam is the guy. I understand that. But now that Zion is probably going to be out for the foreseeable future, at least a couple weeks. Even though he's day-to-day and he could probably play right now, because I just think he's built that way, just like LeBron, like these things. For another player, he'd been gone, would have tore something. But for Zion, he just built different. I think he could play right now. But with Cam Reddish, Coach K got to figure out how are we going to get this guy to ball more, because he's still playing too much off the ball. He needs the ball to create more, because he can, and I don't think that they're displaying that talent with him.
Right. Okay. So 0-2. This loss, which you said Virginia just got their number right.
They do, overall.
Against UNC, that's understandable because that's...
Yeah,
because
it happened. Yeah. It's in the moment.
So, shouldn't that give them a little cover?
A little bit. But what I'm seeing doesn't lend itself well to what they're going to be without them. So again, very small sample size. So I'm not you know, dumpster firing all this stuff. Oh my God, the Duke is the worst, and Coach K is over the hill. I'm not saying that,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, the next game, I don't know who they play next. It needs to be better than this,
yeah.
hands down. Yeah. Cam Reddish needs to be more involved. You know what I'm saying? RJ Barrett needs to make more timely plays because he had a couple bad turnovers, man.
They get Miami Nets. Miami.
I was just looking.
So that's the perfect game to exert your will and show the rest of the nation that, hey, we still here. Mm-hmm. That's the game that they got to do it.
Because they might be what?
I don't think they're ranked. Are they?
They were ranked three.
No,
they're not. You talking about Virginia Tech?
I'm talking about Miami's not ranked. Nah, Virginia Tech was number 23.
Yeah.
So okay.
And Duke was three and going into this. Now they might be five, six or whatever.
Realist, this is not NFL. This is not football. This is not college football. The rankings don't really hurt them that much. Okay. Right? Because think about it. Rankings don't even really determine your seeding in whatever bracket you're in.
It really doesn't.
So this is just a
the
ranked.
The tournament does, doesn't it? I mean, the what is it? Like those...
It's like the regions.
Yeah, the
it's just
stuff,
a whole bunch
yeah.
of stuff. I don't even know. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you finish number one or you finish 25. It don't really matter.
All right, you Zion. Mm-hmm. You playing again?
If I am Zion and I feel 100% like before I got hurt, then I don't see why not. But if I'm Zion's daddy, I'm telling that man, hey, look, bro. If you not 100%, even if you 99.9, do not go back.
I'll tell you my first reaction when I saw it and then I got to work and I was sitting down, I was like, oh, I wouldn't come back. Not after this. Like, that could be a knee. But then I thought, Kenny Martin Jr., Embiid, Ben Simmons, other guys that have had injuries that have managed to come back. So, and playing is what they do. Mm-hmm. You got a chance to win a national championship. You gotta come back and play, because playing and not playing, either way it go, it won't hurt your status. And if you mess up your knee, unless it's just done, you'll still more than likely at least go top three or five.
But here's the thing though,
Ken. I hate when people talk like that though.
And here's the thing, Ken, like, the man is 280. He'd be the heaviest player in the NBA. And we see that he generates so much force that his foot can literally blow through the side of a fucking shoe, bro. And you talking about, oh, play? I don't know.
That's what I was going to say, like, he need to shut it down. If I'm his daddy, you shut it down. You already the number one pick. You already, like, obviously Nike's off the table as far as signing to that brand.
Nah.
I'll tell you, unless they offering the biggest bag of a rookie ever.
Or they will.
They should.
Because like I said in the text message, I'm pretty sure Puma, Adidas, all them was.
They did. They sent out a tweet and deleted it.
Oh, yeah. But I bet you, like, they was putting out the red carpet for Zion. Yeah,
whoever got to give me the biggest
bag. Nike probably like, nah, we got this.
And I damn sure should ask for my own signature shoe as a rookie.
Oh yeah. Nike going to take care of all that.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. I think we kind of touched on it a little bit. To me, if I'm Zion, I'm being a mercenary at that business table, at that negotiating table, because and I talked to a couple of my coworkers today, and they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, Nike's not going to give them that big-ass bag. I'm like, you can't afford not to give them the bag. Because if you're talking about the next generational guy bad-talking your product, that's not a good look, number one. Number two, you cannot lose out, because Nike is the brand that all of the top guys get signed to. You miss out on Steph. You can't miss Zion. They're
lucky they got LeBron. As far as, like, LeBron has been their flagship guy since Jordan.
And do you know the story with Sonny Vaccaro and all of that with Nike?
He's the man.
Yeah. So Sonny Vaccaro, he went to Nike and said, look, this is the best guy ever. That, you know, the best basketball player I see with my own two eyes. And he said, it's going to take $100 million to sign him. They went to the table, right? Sonny brought LeBron to the Nike table. And I want to say that they offered him 80, and he walked away. Nike came with that 100. Mm-hmm. And that's 13 years ago.
And that was with Adidas. I remember that story. Yep. Yeah, I remember that story.
If Nike don't pony up $200 million, bruh.
But then LeBron got a lifetime contract, right?
Now he has a billion dollar deal.
Oh, that was the first deal.
That was out of high school.
That was out of high school.
Because I thought it was 100 million. Was 90
remember,
million.
That was the big thing. Or 90 million, 100 million.
Regardless. Yeah, it was close to that. Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Bruh.
That was back in 03.
Exactly. You talk 16 years ago. You talking about 16 years. I need 200. If I'm Zion, I need 200 mil right now.
or at least 100 in my own shoe. Because ain't nobody ever had that before. Give me something that's monumental.
Well, didn't LeBron had a rookie signature shoe?
I don't think so.
He did. The Zoom, some because I had it.
I had For his first year, he had his own shoe?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a shoe guy. No, but I'll say shut it down just for the fact, like,
why?
The tournament's overrated. We all know. And on top of that, on top of all that, he not getting to pay one red cent from all this. He brought Obama to the game, and I can't get paid. The tickets getting sold for over $2,000.
It was the most expensive. Besides the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl's only more expensive ticket.
I'm bringing that money to the game, and you ask him. And the whole tournament is all about ads. Everybody getting paid off that tournament but them kids. And I'm thinking, like, man, you know what? I might as well just sit out and wait till I get paid.
I mean, I feel what you're saying, but I don't think Zion is going to sit out because I think he has that.
No, I don't think he will.
Yeah, I think he has that, you know, we started this, let's finish this and get this championship. I think he's going to have that mentality. Or at least that promise he probably made to Coach K, like, look, we started this, let me finish it. And
I just don't want to see no Sam Bowie situation where he just, like.
But Sam Bowie got hurt in the pros, too, though, didn't he?
He got hurt. It started in college, and then he got, and then it went into the pros.
Yeah, but I think that goes to either what you were saying or what you were kind of saying is that he's not coming back until he's 100% healthy. Yeah, Sam may have came back early.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, you got three games. So you could just sit out the remaining three games and just come back in the tournament. Matter of fact, you don't even have to play the first game of the tournament.
I won't go that
you
far.
Mean the ACC tournament? Because you got the regular season, then you got the ACC tournament, then you got the big
tournament. You got to get back in shape, like basketball shape, before you go to the tournament. But, I mean, I don't see him sitting out, but I would sit out. Like, there's no point.
And then in terms of Sam Bowie, that was just a different era because those college players played 3-4 years. You know what I'm saying? So even if you got hurt by coming back early, you got next year. And then who's going to take your spot? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you stayed in college 3+ years, who's going to take your spot next year? If Zion came back early and he wasn't 100% just to help him win, but we knew Zion was going to be back for 2 more years, okay. You get healthy in the offseason.
I'm also talking as a Knicks fan because I don't want no scraps when we draft him.
I guess we talked about what Barkley had to say.
What did Barkley say?
About him, you know, like you play ball. What's up all these people talking about some he need to sit out or whatever. Like,
I saw that.
You play ball, that's what you do.
Yeah,
pretty much. Like, you play ball, that's what we do.
And he need to shut the hell up. And I all due respect to Barkley, but come on, man. Everybody else making money, but the people talking about college basketball make money and the kids don't.
Zion going to get paid, though.
Yeah, but he ain't getting paid now. He's getting paid.
It's two different
things.
He's getting paid.
All those top guys get paid somehow, some way.
He was pushing a Benz.
All those guys get paid somehow,
But the fact that he can't get paid. He can get a bag now.
That's bullshit.
Yeah,
he can sell his own jersey. He can't even do that.
We get it. But it's just the way it is right now. Yeah. So, you know, he wasn't getting paid before he got hurt. So, B, you think Duke gonna win it all, man?
Do I think they are?
Yeah, you the college guy.
No, I mean, it's really tough when you got one game elimination type tournaments because all it takes is one bad game, one lucky shot, one bad shooting night. That's all it takes in college tournament. Mm-hmm. Is because look at that Calipari squad,
like 2012 Kentucky team,
the one John Wall and them, like
West Virginia.
West Virginia, they was hitting that everything game. I mean, it was like that rim was like an ocean for them, and they wasn't hitting nothing Kentucky and them. And they lost. And then West Virginia got popped the next game. It was just like,
it just takes one game.
So I ain't going to say that.
That could take Duke that was gonna win. The deepest Man, college team I've seen in my life.
Yes, though. I thought they was going to, like, just.
They had Eric Bledsoe.
I thought they was going to UNLV everybody that year, man. I'm like, man, ain't nobody going to touch them.
So based on what you've been seeing, so who is a threat to them? Who would you say is a legit threat to win it all, if not Duke? Who else got a good shot?
I mean, is Gonzaga, they like the San Antonio of college, but without winning the championships. Because Gonzaga, they always turn it up in tournament time. But it depends on if they're in that same bracket. They always give Duke the easy region every time they in the tournament. Not Louisville. Who else? I think it was somebody else in the ACC.
Damn.
You believe Virginia?
Yeah, Virginia Tech.
Virginia.
Virginia. I can definitely see them. If they're in the same region as Duke, I'm telling you, they're going to give Duke all the cupcakes, mm-hmm. and where Duke can make it to the Final Four easily. But it just depends on – I give you that answer once the brackets out. Once the brackets out, then I can tell you.
When is the brackets come out?
It's going to be in a couple of weeks because they about to start – because March is this Friday. They're about to start the conference tournaments pretty much like within the next week or two. So, yeah, it's going to be crazy.
I don't like Duke. I hate Duke.
I do too.
I can't stand Duke.
Yeah, Duke, Notre Dame football. I mean, just like teams. I just can't stand, man. And like Duke.
You know, I never had no problem with Duke. You know what I'm saying? I never really got into that Duke.
Duke and Notre Dame football.
It's already bad being a Cincinnati Bearcats fan. So I ain't got no hate for
nobody else. Dallas Cowboys. Yes, Duke,
I can't stand them.
And Notre Dame football.
But you know what? It's not really the Cowboys as much as it is Cowboy fans. I hate their fan base. Because, bro, y'all have that shit in a minute.
In the media,
and y'all be talking hella.
In the media, too.
Yeah, they call them America's team. Y'all ain't won nothing.
Y'all ain't won nothing since 95. Like, come on.
And then even your owner's delusional. Oh, yeah, I put it together. Nah, bro, that was Jimmy Johnson.
Right.
That was Jimmy Johnson.
He can make that one argument it wasn't all Jimmy because he won that one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, man.
Them the three teams I can't stand.
So Duke winning it all, I think it depends on Zion.
That'd be Coach K.
Zion's playing or he's not.
It'd be Coach K.
And I think what concerns me is not RJ, not Cam, Trey Jones. Who's the other guy they got? I think it's a center, Bolden. Is he playing for Duke? Marquise Bolden.
I couldn't tell you the name.
He
ain't probably making the league.
Other players around that team haven't stepped up either.
I was going to say Jones is my next one because he needs to really, like, become the point guard that they, like, he needs to become a floor general.
He does.
And that's what I thought I would think anybody who can work well off of Coach K would be him.
But you know what? When I look at him, I just don't think the talent's there. When I watch, and I'm not.
I don't think so either.
He just need to rondo it, to be honest.
But you act like being Rondo's easy. This shit hard as hell, bro.
When you got Zion, RJ, Cam, you should be able to.
Nah.
What would you do in that system?
But that's even harder because RJ and Zion both require the ball because they're both playmakers. And if you're a point guard, that's hard to sometimes put them in their place because they are that much better than you. And as a floor general, even though the talent may be better, sometimes you got to have those tough conversations. Hey, bro, I got it. I need you to cut. I got you. You know what I'm saying? But that's a tough conversation. And he hasn't proven it. Like, he hasn't shown that, we're better off with him making plays. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And then he doesn't really play well off of those guys. How many threes has he hit? You know what I'm saying? How many drives off of driving kicks has he gotten on a redrive? Like, to me, he just looks like another guy. I don't think he's getting drafted. To me, I'm surprised that his brother's still in the league in terms of Tyus Jones. Mm-hmm. Because he's just
killing the family.
I am, bro. Because look, I thought Tyus Jones going into the league was overrated. You know what I'm saying? Because he played at Duke as well. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a little overrated. I was surprised he got drafted in the first round.
He played all right, though.
He's had some moments in the NBA.
Like Shabazz Napier.
And Shabazz shouldn't really be in the league like that.
LeBron got him drafted.
He did. LeBron did get him drafted.
And then left.
He sure did. But to me, I don't know, man. I don't like Trey Jones like that.
I forgot about that. He even sent the tweet out on draft day. Oh yeah, I love to get Shabazz.
This nigga's
bag is already packed on their tweet.
Best point guard in the draft.
You know what was funny? Shabazz was following LeBron, and then after LeBron said he was going to bounce, he stopped following him on Twitter.
I would have too.
I feel you. But if it wasn't for LeBron, you wouldn't have got drafted. But at least not in the first round. Not in the first round.
True. He owed LeBron. Man.
You got that guaranteed money.
Boy, that's all that mattered anyway.
Mm-hmm. Damn, man. So Cap settled. A lot of people pissed off about
how much?
They said it's between
60 and 100. That's what I've heard.
Well, I heard it was between 40 and 80.
Oh.
Sure. I think numbers is all over the place. But it was at least a good chunk of change. I think he had to split that with Eric Reed too.
Mm. Oh shit! Well,
and
shit.
He had to pay the lawyers. Yeah. Out of that.
Dang, so he walked away.
Unless 30? The settlement included the NFL just taking care of the lawyer fees and
possibly I would have
negotiated that shit. Y'all paid these niggas all that money. Ain't coming out of my check.
Because he's missed what, two seasons?
Two seasons.
Okay, so that's what, 20 a year? Which is what he wanted from the AAF, right?
Yeah, he wanted, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so if that report was true. So he just make it up for lost salary. If
does he get to does he
what
does he play again?
Nah.
And that settlement, does that mean you ain't gonna play again either?
Nah. That doesn't. I don't think that that's what the settlement means. I just I don't think that even still a team wants to deal with that PR hit.
That's what I'm saying. Like you got paid, but now it's like that was you were in your prime when you weren't getting paid, mm-hmm. and now you 2 years removed. And we drafting rookie QBs now, yeah. so we don't even give a damn about
that. No, I don't think he pays anymore. I think the game kind of passed him by because we've seen the decline athletically of Colin Kaepernick, right? Like, when mm-hmm. he did get back out there, he didn't have the same. Take it to the house. He just didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And then the arm is a cannon, but he never had touch. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't just loft it over the top. So
it's a hard ball.
Exactly. He always throws fastballs. And then it's not like he could read the field either. So he was already a somewhat limited quarterback out of football. You know what I'm saying? I don't see it. Now, do I think he deserves an opportunity? Of course. When you still got the Case Keenums of the world out here, yes, I think he deserves an opportunity. But I don't know who's going to give him that opportunity. I don't know how he helps a franchise, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So to me, I think his playing days are done, personally. I would like him back in the league, but I don't see it.
I would like him back in the league because I don't even want to deal with any of that mess from the sports media to the NFL to the people that watches the fans to Twitter. It's like, man, just take your money, go do good.
You're talking about you as a person if you were a
GM? Yeah, just me as a person. Oh. Like, I just don't even want to deal with it anymore. Like, you've done your job. You know, you managed to create this ruckus, not ruckus, but this protest and this cause. You got people to, I mean, really follow your lead up to a certain point. Then they eventually branched off and they had their own vision, their own ideas. They got money, which is going to help somebody somewhere. It didn't fit in with whatever your goals were. But nevertheless, there's something good coming out of that. So good, cool. You ran off and you did your little crusader shit, so you were helping people there. And then you brought a lawsuit, you settled, and that's it. So now you got some more bread to help other people. You got the deal with Nike to help other people. Because if you really think about it, Cap wouldn't have got that damn deal if it wasn't for the protest.
Nah, he wouldn't have.
They was about to gut him.
Yeah.
If he would have just been in the league. Mm-hmm. This protest really
revamped his career in a different way. Not his playing career, but he has a movement beyond it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's really a bigger platform than just being an NFL quarterback.
It's kind of like Meek Mill.
If he ever starts speaking again, you know, and which I think is, well, I don't know. I don't know why he never. I don't know. Sometimes. I don't know. This whole not speaking thing, I don't get it.
That's what I was saying earlier. I don't think he is a leader, as quote, like, by definition. I think he was more of just, like, the figurehead, like, the symbol.
Yeah.
He was more symbolic than leader.
Because I don't think he was prepared for it to go as far as it did.
Yeah.
Because he was just doing it. A reporter saw it a couple of times, asked about it. Mm-hmm. He said what he had to say. Took off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
but I think somebody got in his ear like, hey, bro, you could actually, you know, take this far further and, you know, do some things.
Well, I think once it got to a certain point, I don't think that that was ever his intention from the beginning. He was just taking a personal stand and it blew up into something else. Yeah. And I think honestly, the way he's handled everything, he's proven to be the perfect face for the cause. You know what I'm saying? Like
in this modern day world, yes. Because we had a lot of old heads, the Jesse Jacksons, the Sharpton, mm-hmm. you know, John Lewis, all these guys are old. Like, their cause was different. They were fighting different things. Cap is younger, more recognizable, of mixed race. He can speak to a lot of the, not, some of the current issues that's going on with police brutality that younger people can identify with a little bit more, because it's not somebody that has wrinkles on their face. You know, because young people, you, man, yeah, we all been young before. We don't listen to old people. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, man, you don't know what you're talking about, old man. But young guys, but a younger guy that's closer in age to them, they'll be more open to listening to them,
yeah,
than somebody older. So, so I think for this generation, you know, he works.
Them jerseys sound like hotcakes, too.
Well, I bet.
He don't get a piece of that, does he?
No. Nope. Well, you don't?
Nah.
I'm talking about the new ones he got with Nike. The black one. The black.
Oh,
one.
Okay. I thought the ones in there.
Oh, yeah.
Not NFL. I'm talking about the new ones. That's why he, I don't even think the NFL selling them like that no more.
Okay.
They may or may not, but I know he got some new ones with Nike. They sell like hotcakes.
Of course. Anything Colin puts his name on in terms of branding, he's going to make money. Because he's still hot. You know what I'm saying? He's still... I think he needs to do something else to continue to generate, you know, that wave. Because I think it's dying down a little bit, just at least outside looking in. I don't hear
especially
his name.
Especially with the settlement. Like, it's exactly. Like, it's like, what else is there?
Exactly. So I think he needs to do, you know, I just think he needs to find a creative way on how to maximize the opportunity he has.
How did you guys feel when you saw that he settled and didn't win?
You know, after talking
she
to people.
Me.
Yeah.
I think he won because that just shows you how the NFL ain't shit anyway. Like they knew. I think the NFL lost because they knew what Cap had against them, and they was like, okay, we just gonna settle this.
With that being said, on the other side, if he knew they was wrong and they knew that they was wrong, he could have took it further and shown like brought to light a lot of this stuff.
But what's further though? So you talk about go to trial and expose a lot of stuff.
Yeah, at least expose it. That would be a whole other scandal in itself. Because we don't know what kind of emails were sent out around this time. We don't know what phone records and all that stuff that they probably was like, bro, we didn't sell this
shit. That's why NFL pony up a lot of money tourism because they know.
But here's the thing, though. Like, even if they got to that point, he wouldn't have got the money. All he would have did was just expose the NFL.
But the thing, this whole thing hasn't been about
money. No, I understand that. But what does that do for Cap if he exposes them? Let's think best and worst case scenario.
Best case scenario, this elevates his platform even higher because it proves that he was right and it shuts down a lot of the other naysayers. I think it will hurt the NFL's bottom line because, I mean, I think the cap situation already did with the Super Bowl ratings. I think that's another reason why they settled. Worst case scenario, well, best case, he gets paid on top of that if he wins. Worst case scenario, what he loses and... My thing is, like, the whole thing wasn't based on money, so I can't really equate this settlement to being, like, as a quote-unquote win.
Well, here's the thing. They would have had to pay him something, mainly because if he could prove that they blackballed him out of the NFL, I lost wages. Yeah. So for these amount of years, you got to pay me freaking whatever the franchise tag is for NFL quarterback or something.
Like 21.
Right? Yeah. Something like that for, you know, these three. How many years has this been, like, going on? Three.
Two seasons at least.
So like $40 million, right? So he probably would have got the same amount of money anyway. And I think you're 100% right. It would have hurt the NFL really bad, which is to B's point why they wanted to just settle and keep it business as usual. But I think that I don't know the reasoning for Cap just settling. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, I think somebody needs to ask him.
He's not
but we'll never know because he signed that NDA.
Yeah.
So he can't talk about it. We can't see the numbers that they get.
Yeah.
Basically, he's going to be quiet like he has been.
Yeah.
Definitely NFL want to make it go away. Look, we've been dealing with this for 2 years. Let's just go to
I know what you would do, Ken.
Ooh.
Expose all that shit. I need to know. The people need to know.
Exactly. I don't see why I don't know. Maybe he was just tired and he was like, he figured this would be, he wants to move on as well.
Yeah, he is back.
But
Paul George back, man. Yeah.
He back. Like, he all the way back.
If there was a higher seed, he'd be I think a consensus MVP.
He should be MVP.
I mean, he's in there. He's definitely in there. Yeah. Him and Giannis, I think, are definitely the top two MVP candidates.
I think it's just him and Giannis. That's it.
You think so?
Everybody. Yeah. I think Harden.
I think you'll put Harden up there. You gotta put, but these guys was like way out of it.
You're right. He's third though.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, he's third or fourth.
Yeah. Was number one at one point.
He's falling off a little bit. He's falling off a little bit. Here you go. Woo! Yeah, he back.
Oh, Big Ben, man.
Why are we talking about this guy again?
Because I forgot to say some things about him last episode.
So this is personal. You can have it. It's,
I mean, with the comments that he made, I went off about AB.
What was the comments? Enlighten the people that don't know.
He basically said, I can say whatever. This is my version of it. But he said, I can say whatever the hell I want to because I won two rings and the rest of these niggas didn't. And then the GM came out and said he right. Like
that. Yeah.
And for me, it's just like.
Called them kids.
Called them. He's like, if you got to handle 52 kids, you know.
Ooh, trade me.
I just think that this organization is getting exposed about like how crazy their locker room was. Even just management and how management views the workers, how the QB views his peers. I just think that if I was the Steelers, if there was someone of, first of all, I feel bad for Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. It makes me realize like
how hard the job
for his
was.
Record yeah. and what he's dealing and with. He's dealing no with. Wonder he yeah. has that philosophy of being like, because he can't complain to management. If management's saying, mm-hmm. "Bro, whatever he say goes, it's
right.
gold."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, so he just got to be like, "Bro, we got to just keep you here until your talent go out." Which sounds crazy, but now it sounds like the most rational thing in the locker room.
Yep.
And for me, Vaughn says I'll move on from Big Ben. As much as he's still a top 10 QB.
Is he? It's very borderline.
He's borderline.
He's borderline, but he still moves the needle, I would say that. He still moves the needle QB.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously your franchises can still produce with him than without him.
I agree.
Like, as far as the unknown.
Yeah, he's still a producer. Yeah. He's still producing.
But I still would move on from him because, like, right now, he ain't helping you get to the playoffs. He barely helping you win games. I feel like every season, there's, like, one or two Steelers games. We're like, how the hell did they lose to this team?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of him.
Yeah. Because he has that gunslinger mentality. There's going to be anywhere between 2 to 4 games a season where he throws 4 picks, and you're just like, what
And there's
the
no
hell?
Humbleness with that mentality.
No, there isn't. Because
even with Brett Favre, he'll be like, all right, that was my fault. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he's going to take a risk, but he's going to be like, he's going to pony up if he made a mistake that cost you the game. Big Ben's spreading all this blame around, like it's like he's untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I don't like quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks like that. That's just the tone for your whole team. If I was the Steelers, I'd move on.
But here, I feel you, and I think if I was a GM of that organization, I'd probably do the same. However, it's always my question, right? Like, I always look at the other side of it. Who do you get to replace? Are we going to draft? Because typically.
You got Mason Rudolph.
Who?
I'll say trade up.
They got Mason Rudolph. They got, Dobbs? Joshua Dobbs or Josh Dobbs or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Even trade him for a Dodge.
Nah.
I just, Big Ben though. Yeah, I don't know. And maybe my perception is wrong, but I always felt like Pittsburgh always had the next person already lined up, right? Because from
Remember they didn't have a quarterback until they got Big Ben.
Yeah.
Remember, they were shuffling them niggas out.
Yeah, because they had Cordell Stewart, then it was
who
Charlie
wasn't really
Batch.
A quarterback.
No, he wasn't. He was slash. He did a lot of everything. But they won with Cordell.
They did.
And who was the one? Bill Cowher won a lot with Cordell. So let's not just say he was just trash and not a quarterback like
the
man.
Yeah, but he wasn't the franchise.
He wasn't the franchise.
Between
like that.
What's his name?
Didn't it have Neil O'Donnell? Is that his name?
I want to say the last time I remember him playing was with the Texans or the Houston Oilers or the Tennessee Titans.
He did play for the Steelers though.
But I remember, what was it? It was Cordell Stewart, then it was Charlie Batch.
Yes.
And then they had...
Woo, Charlie Batch was...
They had a white boy QB that, you know, super pocket guy. But he was a veteran. I can't remember his name. And then that's who Big Ben came in for. The fuck is
I know
his
what
name?
You're talking about.
Neil O'Donnell.
Was it Neil O'Donnell? No, it wasn't Neil O'Donnell.
It could have been him because he didn't... No, it wasn't him. Because Neil O'Donnell last played in 95 with them. Hold on, I'll look it up.
Yeah, because I remember it was like a super established veteran. He was nice, but then, you know, he got definitely over the hill, got hurt, and then Big Ben came in. Damn, what's his name? I can see them in my head.
I got the Google Maddox.
Tommy Maddox. Right, Tommy?
Yep.
Tommy Maddox.
Yep. It was Tommy Maddox and Charlie Batch.
Yep. Because Charlie Batch was there before Tommy, and then Tommy overtook Kevin, and they drafted Ben, and then Ben. But so I got, look, man, I agree with you. It's time to move on.
Trade up in this draft. You know, there's a couple players that people, you know, there's Drew Lock, there's Daniel Jones. You could trade up for Kyler Murray. I just think that right now they just need to be in rebuild mode, because you literally, in one season, you've lost the whole, yeah. Not only lost the locker room, but you lost two of your three stars. Y'all ain't even the big B's no more, or whatever the heck their nickname was.
So I would definitely get rid of, man, if I could get, they should try to get Haskins, man.
Or Pittsburgh?
Man, I would hate that because I love Haskins. I need him to come. He needs to be a Giant. He ain't posted a picture of being in a Steelers uniform. He posted Big Blue. He said, "Don't let me go home."
Like, man, like he is. He did.
Yeah.
He trying to go to New York.
Of course. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, that's that. If I'm a young quarterback, that's the best situation to go into.
But not only because it's New York, but it's my hometown. I got OBJ, Saquon, Evan Ingram.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Juju.
You got some weapons.
James Conner?
That's just, nah.
I got Eli to learn from. Like,
that's. No.
Hey, don't disrespect him.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap. No. The man got a noodle for an arm.
But he can learn. I said learn from him. Can you not learn
on the bench?
He can be learned. That's still learning from him.
No. First of all, look, and maybe I'm taking a page from your book and I am being disrespectful, but they need to cut ties with Eli. Eli don't even need to be in that locker room anymore.
His jersey will be retired.
1,000%.
Okay, and his memories will last.
1,000%.
Yes, he's created a lot of moments.
1,000%.
That's why you respect
and
Eli.
And it's a wrap.
I'm not saying I'm not saying he should be the next quarterback for the next year. I'm saying if we get Haskins, I still want Eli in the building.
Give him a front office job. You don't need no shoulder pads. Hey, grab this tablet and show some people some things. But you don't have no helmet, no shoulder pads in this building.
I just want him to be in the
building. Okay.
He can learn from Eli.
That's cool.
To walk around New York.
Yes. I give you the building, but that's not the sideline. You need to be up in the booth, bruh.
Well, I know that things definitely have changed since Dan died. Dan Rooney. Since his name Dan Rooney. Since Pop
Art Rooney
died.
I thought it was Art.
Yeah.
Art Rooney the second. Who is Dan?
Junior is running it now. Yeah. Art Rooney Jr.
Okay. Why did I get Dan? I thought I could have swore somebody. Okay, anyway. Art, since he died, they haven't been the same. And Junior don't know what the hell he's doing. He need to get back to his daddy ways because he's screwing up. But and then to have your GM come out and just say, refer to grown men as kids. You're not talking about rookies, man. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 5-year, 10-year vets in that team. Yeah.
Like 30-plus. Yeah. You're talking about 30-plus-year-old men.
How do you say something like that?
I think it's because he don't have no James Harrison in that locker room, Hines Ward, or
Jordan. He don't have nobody outspoken.
He ain't got no dogs that have been like, bro, don't ever say that again. Right. Don't even think that.
I'm going to check you.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to say it right in your face just like this. Like, what you going to do?
Say that quote again.
James Harrison would check.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Dan was the president of the Steelers at one point. Okay, Dan Rooney,
I think that's the only way, because, like I said, Ben is the only one there from those Super Bowls, from those deep playoffs.
From that era.
Yeah.
Just think about how many players, great Steelers players, Ben Roethlisberger has outlasted. You're talking about Troy. We talk about Hines. We talk about James Harrison.
The Bus.
You say we talk about, what was his
Jerome
real name?
Bettis.
Jerome Bettis. We talking Steeler legends, and he's still there. So his mentality, it is different.
And we just went through the quarterbacks that they had. Charlie Batch, Cordell.
The only other person in terms of a quarterback that can hold a candle to Ben Roethlisberger as a Steelers quarterback is Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, that's
the only guy. So, you know.
And do you want to go back to that?
Nah. So Big Ben's cojones are super big. They're inflated. And who can check them?
Yeah, they haven't had a franchise guy like him. And like you said, yeah.
Terry Bradshaw. Yeah. He was in the 70s, wasn't he?
Yeah. 70s. It's hard to find him, man.
The film is still in, what, black and white?
Damn, some of it is.
And I think, man, like they, and I think rebuilding on the fly, this is kind of what they're going to do, right? So you're going to lose AB. You're going to probably try to get picks or whatever for him. You got a serviceable running back in James Conner. You got Juju. So now you know they're going to extend Big Ben for another year or two. So you know in 2 years you're going to have to replace him and then figure out what you're going to do with Tomlin, whether or not you're going to extend him.
I'll just say wait till next year's draft class. You get Tua and Sunshine. Mm-hmm. Try to get one of them.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And I would keep Tomlin.
No, they'll probably keep him, but
he needs to stay. But I wouldn't be surprised if he get fed up and just wants to leave, too.
I can see that. That's what I was thinking.
He got a ring. He got a great record to go. He can go to. He can get any coaching job just by signing.
I would think Tomlin would leave with Big Ben. He would like, yo, if Big Ben go, I'm gone. Like, I don't want to start over with this. But then again, you know.
But I think coaches oftentimes look for challenges. And I think if Ben is gone, that's a brand new challenge.
Well,
his organization is your organization.
But he's
going to
take them losses too on his.
Of course, 1,000%. But I think that he's one of those coaches that he has 3 years. You know what I'm saying? That to rebuild. Mm-hmm. You have two losing seasons, and that third season, bro, you better start winning. Or else now your seat is very hot. But because he's already won a you won one championship. Mm-hmm. Since he already won a championship, he has leeway. When you're a championship head coach in the NFL, you get at least 3 years to mess things up.
I would say this: if John Gruden can get a decade, you can get Mike Tomlin least 3 years.
Don't even start me on no damn John Gruden.
Yeah, I think
he got a decade. I just realized he got a decade.
Decade, dude.
Yeah,
100 million,
$10 million a year.
That's crazy.
Losing Bell, losing Brown could give Tomlin a chance to kind of really reset. Because as you noted, in terms of the locker room, because as you noted earlier.
Nah, it's still Ben. It's still Ben.
No, I'm talking about, I'm sorry, when Big Ben is gone too.
Okay.
So when Big Ben is gone too and they're looking at Tomlin, what do you want to do? You want to stay or you
want to
go?
Do they even keep Tomlin if Ben is there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Or do we want to stay? So we're dealing with like both scenarios. So let's just say he decides, you know what, I'll stay. There's no Big Ben. There's no Bell. There's no Brown. So now all of a sudden, and I think Art Rooney has learned the lesson. We cannot give these guys this type of leeway. We got to get back to our roots, what my dad instilled. It's the Steeler way, that culture that we have. This could give Tom the authority to really run that locker room the way he would like. Whereas before in the past, you know, it sounds like he wasn't really given that, and that he had to put up with a lot more than he would want. So we'll see. But I'm not in a hurry to see it because I'll be 2 or 3 years older, and I'm good on that. So, all right, man, Lakers. All right, so here's what I'll say. We obviously know they're struggling defensively. Brandon Ingram has stepped his game up.
It's only been a week. Don't jump on the bandwagon like that, Ken. Please,
he looks different though, FIFO.
He playing better. I'll give him that. I'm not saying this is here.
It looks like he's gotten away from trying to be a jump shooter, and it looks like he's being more aggressive and attacking the rim and getting those easier back.
But my thing is this, right? He's had a week or two of great play. Is this the new Brandon Ingram, or is this just a week or two of great play?
I think it's the new Brandon Ingram.
I don't know about that.
I think it's the new Brandon Ingram. So you got him. He's playing well. Kuzma, of course, is continuing his good play. LeBron is playing well. And them other dudes, though. Like,
those are the dudes LeBron picked.
Nah,
he didn't pick them.
Yeah, he didn't pick them.
Magic
did. You mean like Lance Stevens?
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Rondo Stewart?
Well, because Lonzo's still out. But I think okay, so I'll give you this. I'll give you props on Ingram stepping up the last 2 weeks. He has played well. However, I think that the biggest problem currently with the Lakers is Luke Walton. Like, his rotation.
That's
like
exactly where I was going.
I don't get it. I've coached. I've played. Obviously not at that level. But God damn, I know I did a way better job than he has. Because I feel that you have to have a certain feel for your team. Rotation is a feel for the team and for the game of what's happening right now. And he just doesn't have it. And I mentioned that all the way back when Lonzo was a rookie that it just it didn't seem like he was playing them right. And I agreed with LeVar on that. You know what I'm saying? And we're seeing it now. How do you get brand new guys, right, that have never Muscala really done and all of a sudden they get a whole bunch of minutes, especially Reggie Bullock.
What in the hell?
He got like 40-plus minutes, and then Muscala plays a whole bunch of games, a whole bunch of minutes, and then gets three DMPs. Mm-hmm. Like what?
They said he was hurt. But continue.
Either way, it looks super bad for Luke. It looks like Luke doesn't. It looks like Luke is a novice. It looks like Luke is just doing whatever he can to try to save his job, and it ain't going to work. It's just not.
This whole Reggie Bullock thing, because I've been trying to rack my brain around it. I've talked to other Laker fans. They don't understand it. They don't understand why Rondo isn't there. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe because Reggie Bullock is a shooter, he's trying to surround, you know, LeBron with shooters and trying to go up to that.
So let me ask this. Who set the best blueprint to play around LeBron? Who said, you know what, the best mastermind, right, of constructing this team around LeBron, who did it the best?
David Blatt. Riley.
Thank you, B. Pat Riley. This guy, man, he just a fucking troll. But no, Pat Riley. And what did Pat Riley do? Shooter after shooter after shooter after non-traditional positionless basketball player.
That's why I think Luke put Bullock in the starting rotation.
But 40 minutes? Yeah.
I know. Rondo should be starting. You need to make the playoffs. You need guys that can handle that pressure, which is what LeBron was calling people out about.
And not only just that, guys that have been in that locker room already. Like, what are we talking about? Because to me, I'm very big on earning it. Mm-hmm. Well, we just got you. We wanted you. But you got to prove to me that you're going to earn these minutes.
But, FIFO, the other thing about that is you can start to, like, put Bullock in the game at certain points throughout the game to give yourself a competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, by having – so you can start with Rondo and all these other guys who are playing well. And then when you need to space the floor a little bit more – you can bring him in to create more.
But
more
do
room.
You have time for all that?
Nah,
all
you
that.
Don't.
He didn't have time for that. And that's why it made no sense for him to just insert the dude into the lineup that just got there and not play Rondo.
But if you need shooting and you traded for him and he's a shooter,
you don't have to throw him in there right away.
But
you got to give him some type of continuity with the team.
Look at what they're doing with Mirotić in Milwaukee. They just got him right. They didn't insert him into the starting lineup.
They're working
off
in.
The bench.
But here's the thing, though. At the end of the day, right, your GM and your head coach need to be on the same page, right, in terms of how are we constructing this team around LeBron.
That is a good point, because now you're thinking they should have never traded for the pieces. Mm-hmm.
So those two guys have to be on the same page. And what Magic and Pelinka said at the beginning of the season was, we are going to build a scrappy ball-handling team around LeBron. Mm-hmm. Scrappy, I understand that, right? Trying to get defenders around LeBron, I get that, because LeBron, he's not the same level defender. Let's just be honest. When you get older, you just don't have that same type of to go after it defensively every game, every possession against the best players. I get that. But ball handlers, when you're talking about LeBron arguably being the best visionary of the game at that size since Magic, not saying that he's the best, because you could put Jason Kidd, John Stockton, you could put a lot of other point guards above LeBron in terms of passing ability, but at that size, at 6'9", since Magic, right? Why the hell do you need ball handlers? Additional ball handlers when you already know you got Lonzo, which is a ball handler, a playmaker. You don't need more than that. You need more shooting. So to me, it was Luke's job to create an identity based off of the pieces given to him, and he failed at that miserably.
But
now it just seems like he's just trying to pull something out of thin air.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, and I've been saying this since he got the job. What do we expect? This is like, I'm not surprised the job that Luke Walton's done, because
not
I didn't
either.
Expect much of anything. Because
he
had a bevy of stars in Golden State, and he only had to work with them for what, 30 games, 35 games, something like that. While Steve Kerr
but he was on that staff from when Steve Kerr came on.
Yeah,
so he's been there for some years. Here's
Thibodeau was on Doc Rivers' staff, and he ain't nothing like Doc as far as a coach.
No. Obviously, they're completely
different.
But he
was able to coach.
Exactly. He was able to coach, and he won a lot of damn games.
No, yeah, but I'm just saying as far as just because – I'm not saying like I'm just saying, like, just because you can coach in certain areas doesn't mean you're a head coach material.
But Luke got a pass because they were kids.
Exactly.
And his record did increase year over year.
Yeah, but he didn't develop the players that he needed to, like a D'Angelo Russell, like a Julius Randle.
He's not the guy that's trading guys either. So, you know, if they traded D'Angelo because of whatever may have happened, that's not necessarily on Luke, right? And honestly, I think young players need more opportunity than it is. Development is big, but they still need opportunity. And I don't think D'Angelo was getting the right opportunity in L.A., right? Because when you fracture the locker room like that, it's hard as hell to come back from, especially if you're not Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, LeBron early on.
And I think minutes were a little erratic, too.
They were erratic. I think, and there's different types of head coaches, right? And I talk about this a lot. You have rebuilding head coaches. You have championship head coaches. You have development head coaches, young coaches that can relate to young players. You have all these different type of head coaches. And Luke Walton was selected because of his age, because of his affiliation to not only Phil Jackson, obviously to his dad, obviously to Golden State, right? So it was a lot of factors as to why. And then he was a former Laker, and he won championships with the Lakers. So overall, it was a feel-good moment. Also, look at the head coach that he took over, Byron Scott, another former Laker. So the Lakers try to keep things in-house, which is understandable. And Luke, to me, was the right man for the job at the time, just like David Black. And remember, I've been on this show.
For the record, I wasn't a fan of Luke Walton hire, but go ahead.
I wasn't like super big, but
we debated it though.
We debated it, you know, and I like what he was bringing to the table. However, it's just with this version, just like when LeBron decided to go back to Cleveland, Dave Black wasn't the guy no more. When LeBron came here, Luke Walton wasn't the guy no more. Like, we need a guy that is proven. We need a guy that knows how to manage egos, times, and adjustments in the game, right? Somebody that's been there, done that. When you are talking about arguably top three, top five greatest player to ever play the game, he needs a coach that understands what it is to win games and championships as a coach.
Okay. So Stephen A. threw out three names. I remember two. Doc Rivers, Tyronn Lue, and it was somebody that he said Magic would love to hire, and I cannot think of that person's name.
Is he coaching now in the league?
Is it Mark?
Nah, it's not Mark Jackson.
What did Stephen A. say about?
He said, let's jump into that real quick.
Yeah.
So Stephen A. said, starting today, February 26, 2019, as of today, we can no longer call LeBron James the greatest player on the basketball court. We just can't do it because he's not at 100%. What we see on the basketball court isn't LeBron at the level that we know LeBron, and there's other guys that are playing at a higher level than him. Now, here's the thing. If you want to say that for the rest of the season or since he's gotten hurt, we've seen a lot of players up their game.
I would say since last year.
That's why I don't like this statement.
No, remember, last year he was balling. In year 15, and we were like, dude, how the hell?
At the beginning of this season, he looked like, damn, bro, like you look like you 20-something.
From the finals, I know he played very well in the finals.
But yeah, the
stuff that KD was doing, I was like, bro, this might be the best player in the NBA. And then going into this season, I was like, yeah, this is the best player.
But see, okay, so this is my thing with this whole best player, right? I think that at this point, KD definitely has more juice in the tank, right? Like, he's just younger, fresher. He just is. Way better shooter than LeBron can ever dream of becoming. But everything else, I think LeBron still had something on KD. And I think the biggest thing that separates LeBron from all of the other greats is the fact that how much he elevates everybody else. Like, it doesn't matter what's in the bag, he gonna drag that, bruh. And I don't know of another superstar player in the NBA that can do that to the level LeBron can.
Can you say that if they don't make the playoffs this year?
Well, I can say that LeBron is not 100%, and I can also say that before the injury, they were a top three team in the West.
But we know injuries are a part of sports.
I understand that. So healthy LeBron, yes. Yes. This hurt version of LeBron, nah. But like you said, injuries are part of it. So because of that, to me, there are other guys that are playing at a way higher level than LeBron. That's fair to say.
It is fair to say, but this is why I didn't like – I hate when they frame the argument that way. But because we know that if he's hurt and not 100%, by default he can't be the best player. Like if he's playing at 80%, yeah, he's going to come down a notch. So he's not going to be better than other guys that are younger and playing already at 100%. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So it's just like when he said, I'm like, I thought he was just going to say, it's just over, period.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes more sense to jump out there. Don't try to give yourself an out.
I don't think he's moving forward, even if he is 100%. I still wouldn't call him that.
I'll put it to you like this. I think that the playing field is way more even now. And I think that this is the first chink in the armor. And I think that this is the true beginning of the decline.
Yeah, like, I think last year was at the top of the hill. And like, now, it's like this
He's on his way down.
Yeah.
You know, He's definitely on his descent.
For real. The vision.
For real. It's just like, like I said, last year I was like, man, it's crazy he's still playing at this level, putting up these numbers, taking his team to the finals. And like this year, it's like, okay, yeah. Then, you know, the groin injury, it's like, that's where it starts. We always thought LeBron was never getting injured and stuff, and now he up here pulling out his groin and stuff. It's just like, all right, it's starting at these next 2-3 years. He's going to start going down.
So if LeBron isn't the man, who is the man? Let's just say this. Now that it's even, let's just say it's even.
Mm-hmm.
Next year will be another year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now he's going to come down another notch just based off age alone.
Mm-hmm.
Who got it? Who's going to be the next best player in the world?
It's KD.
I'm with you.
It's KD. Because KD's been number two for so long. And I think you can make arguments for Giannis and
Kawhi. I was about to say, what if Giannis get that 15, 18-foot jumper in the offseason?
He shoots the three, though. You seen him shoot the three?
I'm talking about respectfully.
We need to see playoff win. Like, that, okay, like, so what, that what, production leads to
what
playoff
if, okay, wins. So what about this, people? What if this playoffs, Giannis takes another level, get to Milwaukee to the NBA Finals? And not win, but, like, they get to the finals.
Yeah, they get to the final. I'll put it to you like this. They get to the finals, and Giannis corrals KD. Yeah. Because KD can still score 20-25 on anybody.
On anybody, yeah.
But
Giannis is – is he bigger than him?
He is. He's taller and longer.
Yeah.
So if
– that'd be a harder 25.
Exactly. And Giannis is the only guy physically capable of literally guarding KD.
Yes.
If he has KD shooting in the low 40s, KD's only scoring 20-22 a game, and he's struggling, and Giannis is over here balling?
That's more of like a foul line.
Would you say Giannis?
I still give it to KD because KD's been doing it for longer.
Right.
But if Giannis comes out next season and he has that 15 to 18 footer and he's just dominant, KD, your run at the top was kind of short like Leprechaun.
It
was short like Leprechauns, bro.
As long as he gets,
because he's active on both ends, and you know KD already started getting active on defense
until he got to go to state.
So
to that level, because let's be honest, when KD was in OKC, they were a top team defense, and KD was a part of that, but he didn't take his defensive game to another level until Golden State.
Giannis is already there. You know what I'm saying? He's already there.
Yeah, he is.
And I feel like it's so for people to just jump to Giannis like they jumped to Anthony Davis years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, bro, KD been doing damage in this league for
since
a
day one. Mm-hmm. KD, let's be honest. Just like LeBron.
Day one.
KD came into the league getting people buckets.
Yeah, and he's been going for the throne. Like, he's been going for the throne aggressively.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now he deserves to have it. Now, you know, and Giannis.
And he's earned it. He's earned it.
He took a lot of lumps. He took a lot of lumps.
He got a super young OKC team to the finals. Let's be honest. And then, you know, what happened with Golden State in terms of being up and then they lose and then he signs with them. It is what it is. But in the last two finals, he's looked like the best player. I feel like he's taken that matchup between LeBron in the finals personal. And I have a big issue with a lot of these younger players that oftentimes you don't see them take these personal challenges. And KD was like, I'm going to shit on you every time I get, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to make sure it's on you. You know what I'm saying? And he proved it. It's kind of like, if it wasn't for LeBron being able to just take a sack of potatoes and get it to the finals, KD would be the best player.
Yeah.
That's the only thing to me that separates them, is that I don't feel like I can put KD, right, with that last year's Cleveland squad and they make the finals like that. I think they lose to Boston. They lose along the way. LeBron, even though without the killer gene and the clutch gene and all of this other, he gets guys to the finals.
KD on steroids. He got all this extra help. But you know, but nevertheless, he still does his thing, man. So, it's even hard to imagine that LeBron not being the best player in the league.
I mean, but it was going to happen.
We knew it was going to happen. It's just been this way for so long.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you want to get, if that's hard, you ain't going to really recognize the NBA when he gone.
I got a taste of it when he was hurt.
It was weird.
It was weird, but it wasn't that weird.
Yeah, no. So that's because he's kind of helped usher in. Like, he's been around the new talent enough to where he's like, Paul George looks familiar. James Harden is familiar.
There's familiar faces. But you know, the other thing too is that now the NBA versus when he first came in, there's just way more talent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like when he came in, there's a handful of guys. Kobe.
Iverson.
Shaq. But Iverson and Shaq was on this. They were on the decline.
It was his class, basically. It was him, Wade, Melo, Bosh.
Yeah, but Kobe was still getting
it. No, but I'm just saying. As far as
the new talent.
His new talent like was mostly his peers.
And then just think about how bad those draft classes were after. Because we're talking about the Bargnanis of the world. We're talking about, you know, like we're talking Andrew Bogut going number one. Like, you know.
Crazy.
So we're talking.
Sheldon Williams. Anthony,
you know, Sheldon Williams being top five pick. You know, so we're talking about not a lot of influx of talent right after LeBron either. So he's carried the NBA in terms of being prime time, you know what I'm saying, for a very long time. So for him to start declining, it's just like, damn. It's damn near about time.
Still undefeated, man.
Yeah. You don't think LeBron cares about basketball anymore?
Nah. I think he does.
Not this year.
I think, you know, I honestly think this is probably LeBron's most frustrating year. Because
in his whole career?
Yeah. Because I think he knew what he was signing himself up for, but the mentality of a great player, you know that, shit, bro, we going to make at least a play. Like, I'm going to get my squad to a certain point. And for that not to happen, to get hurt, for these young guys to let all of this stuff affect how they play. The coach, just everything. I think this is his most tumultuous year that he's ever had in the NBA.
The reason why I say I don't think he's focused in on this year is because in the middle of him being hurt, in the middle of him saying, like, I'm activated now for the playoffs, he's got this documentary coming out. He's doing the shop still. He's A&R and 2 Chainz project. Like, you doing a lot of other things that's taking time away from you doing your main thing that gave you all these other opportunities. And that's why I'm just like, like I said in the beginning of the season, the Lakers should give out Tide Pods because it's going to be a wash. Like, I think realistically, he didn't think it was going to be this bad. Like, damn, I'm not even going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I think he came in like, I can be somewhat patient, but I still need to see some progression for next year. And he did not see that. That's why he was like, you know what? He saw that early. That's why he was trying to trade everybody as quick as possible, but didn't work out. And now that's kind of shot the Lakers in the foot because he messed up the locker room a little bit.
And I think that locker room was already messed up when they couldn't win games. And I think if they would have won games.
But nobody was expecting them to win that many games, though.
But people were expecting them to be in the playoffs.
For them to be fourth in the West was a big deal.
Say that, are you saying without LeBron or with LeBron?
With LeBron. They weren't expecting to win that many games.
I don't know why they...
You were supposed to win more than LeBron.
I don't know, because I think they won 35 last year.
And then I think people were thinking maybe...
With LeBron, they was looking at close to 50.
That's what I'm saying. Like 45, 50, get to like a top six. You'd be a sixth seed at least. Nobody expected fourth or third. I think that's when the expectations got over. Like, that's when it was overhyped, which isn't bad, but you got to maintain that. Like,
But that's the point. I don't think that I think that he didn't anticipate the team just to completely fall apart when he got hurt.
What happens when he left Cleveland? What happened when he left Miami? Like,
they still got that young talent. They still won almost 40 games or 40 some games last year. Like, you got to at least maintain .500.
Yeah, without me.
They went 6-12.
Come on, man.
But, I mean, if we're going to use your injury argument, like, Lonzo's been hurt throughout that process, so is Rondo. Yeah. Like, those are floor generals that they need.
And then let's be honest, right? Like, in terms of that locker room chemistry, right, or that camaraderie in that side of that locker room, there is no loyalty. And then with the guys that may have felt some type of loyalty to the brand and to the organization, with all of these trade talks, all of that went out the window. Because think about it. Half of the team is on one-year contracts.
Right.
So mentally, I'm already like, bro, I'm probably not going to be here next year.
Lance not playing like he on a one-year contract. Lance be out there.
Lance does Lance.
I don't know why they don't play that, man.
Yeah, he need that's Luke. That's Luke.
I know.
But I'm just saying, like, just the mentality of that locker room, when you have so many one-year contracts in there, what type of loyalty do you have to the organization?
But they may not have loyalty to the organization, but I think they have loyalty to themselves. Then they have pride within themselves.
But at the same time, right, like, I think any professional athlete has pride about what they do.
But they knew they were hired guns.
But when the tough get going.
Not the draftees. Like,
I'm talking about, I think we're talking about Rondo.
Yeah, I'm talking about those guys.
But you're only talking about them.
Yeah, right now. Okay. Yeah, I just think that their mentality, when the tough get going.
And James Worthy ripped Rondo for his attitude last night, or in the loss to the Grizzly. He said his body language was poor.
That's because Rondo probably can draw better plays than Walton.
And I think because he's such a smart player, mm-hmm. I think he also frustrated with him and the fact he's not starting and they're losing.
Yeah.
So that goes back to what you're saying. Like, it's one thing to play, mm-hmm. is another to sit on the bench and lose. So if mm-hmm. you're playing and losing, I think that sense of pride and stuff can come out. But if you're sitting on the bench and you only get 16 minutes, and this is you only got one-year contract, mm-hmm. and you can't even get BT, and you want to make the playoffs, and he's mm-hmm. not playing you, yeah, of course they'd be like, you know, whatever. Then, you know, Rondo be like, this.
And who's the only other person on that roster outside of Luke Walton and LeBron James with a ring?
Well, Tyson Chandler, too.
Oh, yeah, Dallas.
And McGee.
Chandler, Rondo.
McGee's too fresh. He didn't really do nothing in the finals.
But they got veterans on there that can, because they what it takes.
That's true. You call me a
two-extra. I'm just saying, my thing is, like, the buy-in has to come from your young talent, because that's who you wanted to develop. You wanted LeBron to develop them more than anybody.
Of course. But
And the fact that, and who else can buy in more than the draftees? Like, I'm drafted. This is the organization that wanted me. They picked me high.
But now you've been in all of these trade talks. Exactly. Plus, you got all these veterans on one-year contracts that feel sour. That's a volatile locker room. And then Luke Walton isn't Phil Jackson to massage all that into winning.
Right. They leave his ass at the damn... the bus taking off without Luke Walton. Like, what the hell is going on? Jesus Christ.
So I know the show's probably going to end probably on this topic, but I don't want it to end on this topic. Y'all see my boy Trae Young?
Yeah.
Trae Day.
Trae Day. I was at the game Friday. Pistons went down.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
How what did Trae do that game?
Trae was balling. He was balling. But Blake and Vince got into it. Blake got ejected.
Mm.
So he was cussing and fussing in front of them.
It feels like he's starting to kind of figure some things out.
I think he's just figuring out.
The game slowed down.
Yeah, he's starting to slow down.
He's starting to figure it out. Once he get that shooting percentage up,
Trae consistency.
Just fine.
And then I was watching an interview with him, and he said that his favorite basketball player growing up was Steve Nash. I tell you, he's going to be a major problem in this league.
They say
7.7
assists is the most by a rookie since Magic Johnson and Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd, yeah. Yeah. Oh, he got dimes. Like, watching him, I was like, yo, I was like, ooh.
No,
when
they was playing the Knicks, I was really surprised about just he's a slasher too. People forget that
he can get to the rack.
He can get to the rack easily. And granted, it was the Knicks, but it was just like,
I mean, that's what makes him dangerous, man. Mm-hmm. You can slash and shoot that bad boy.
He shoots from 40.
Yeah,
with that
his release is fucking quick.
Quick,
hell yeah.
Quick.
Probably quicker than Steph as far
as...
I say probably. I ain't say definitely,
it,
but...
Okay,
I mean, like, seeing it firsthand, I'm like, Jesus, he come off that pick. I'm like, damn, it's really so quick.
But yeah, man. Yeah, Trae Young gonna be all right,
and the Hawks are gonna be all right.
Yeah, they're gonna be all right.
Hawks gonna be.
Did
all
you see right. him spin that guy around?
Yes.
I was. That was at the Pistons game.
With the
That was at the Pistons game. He
turned all the way.
He turned around early.
Man.
Yeah,
he was lost.
Yeah,
we pulled it out though, man. Thon Maker hit the damn clutch three.
Yeah. I didn't watch the game. I only saw the highlights of that game.
Well, that's crazy. Thon Maker. What did we call it? He was balling too. I hate him so much though. But Reggie Jackson, he was balling. He was getting.
Dwayne Casey talking up your boy Kennard, man.
Luke yeah, I know Kennard. He had 26 the other night.
Yeah, he's had like two or three good games in a row. And Casey wants him.
And we beat Indiana Pacers at their crib. So I mean, and Kennard was balling, but yeah.
I know if
Casey can get look, I'm a rooting for the brother because look the way he turned around Toronto Raptors, look it was amazing. So if he can do the same thing for us, that'd be great. But I still can't.
It's the roster.
Yeah, I still can't stand roster. Reggie Jackson, man. We just need to. I'm pretty sure.
But Casey's who won't? I know. Reggie. That's the problem. Nobody want that.
Nobody want him, man. Nobody want him. But you know, it looked like we're gonna make the playoffs. I thought we wasn't gonna make it, but it looked like we might slide up in there because Orlando seemed to be kind of falling out out of that pack, and Charlotte is still. It's like us and Charlotte is gonna be like either 7 or 8 seed. So, yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah. All right, man. That's gonna do it for us, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.